everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is filling in for Tom Fairbanks, who normally engineers and produces our Friday edition. So Ray doing a little extra duty. That's okay. He had three short week this week. He had 3 days of vacation back for two, so he'll go for that. On this Friday, August 25th, 2017, does it sound like I'm in a pretty good mood? I think so. I'm going to go on vacation for a week. That always will get you going in the right direction. We want to thank our media partners. Friday, we do our media shout-out to people who support us. They put our logo up on their website, which is very nice of them. And so you click on the Buckmaster Show logo, and it gets you over to our site where you can hear all of our podcasts. Tucson Weekly has joined us now. They're now a supporter with showing the Buckmaster Show, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News and Zahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Republican District 4 Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with us in studio, and joining me in the conversation with Supervisor Christie, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Zahorita Sun. Dan, thank you for coming in, as usual.
And I'm looking forward to sitting in for you a couple of times next week.
Yeah, you'll be on Monday and then again on Friday, and maybe sometime during the hour we can kind of promote your two shows.
Sounds great.
Cross-promote. Supervisor Christie, how are you?
I'm great, and I really appreciate you having me back on.
Well, there's some pretty good. Let's start with some good news about Pima County for a change. These bonds, this AAA bond rating, you're a business guy. You understand business. It's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is a positive evidence that from the rating system that whatever they're doing with the bonds and however their approach is to them, it's paying off with the rating. And you can't find much fault in the fact that the bonds are rated so positively, that's for sure.
Triple A. That's your highest rating. So overall, you feel the county, this reflects that the county is in good financial condition?
Well, I would have to say
is
that...
Is there a correlation there?
There definitely must be some sort of a correlation, but a bond rating is indicative of some sound financial planning and some sound financial management. I guess you could... blend priorities of how the county is focusing itself versus is it in good shape. That might be a subject for another conversation. But I'd have to say that, I would rather have great bond ratings than not.
Dan Scheer.
Well, now the not-so-good news. I think people want to talk about...
let you be the bad guy.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. I want to go back to Allie Miller and some of your thoughts on her proud-to-be-white comments on Facebook and the fallout that followed. You didn't feel like she should apologize, but did you feel like she should at least explain those remarks? And we're really still waiting for an explanation.
Well, I never said one way or the other what she should do. I'm not in a position to defend or explain Supervisor Miller's position on this, because she's perfectly capable of explaining and defending herself. My whole approach to this was to point out what I perceived to be some strong inconsistencies and I would say downright hypocrisy that several weeks ago a county employee on county time used his Facebook account to incite potentially violent activity or actions against Supervisor Miller, peppered with profanity and the proverbial, much used to on the left, F-bomb. And I felt that that was a very egregious act for a county employee to be doing on county time at a directed at a sitting elected official, a supervisor, and I stated so. I did also notice at that same time that my fellow board members of the majority, they must have developed some kind of a quick case of lockjaw, because they didn't say anything. And it was noted that they were very silent on that. Then when we come to the issue of Supervisor Miller posting on her own free time over a weekend a response to an article that a friend of hers is sharing with her, and was utilized, what I would say in that context, all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose with my fellow majority board members denouncing her and asking for this and asking for that. And then we saw a number of electronic media reporters flooding the 11th floor, demanding statements from all the supervisors. It just seemed to be, in the words of Tim Steller, an inconsistent situation, and that was what I was pointing out. Directly addressing your situation, I never would have said those words. I don't ever go on Facebook. Would it be better for all of us, particularly Supervisor Miller and myself, if she had not posted that? Yes. Does she have the right to say what she said? Yes. So there has to be some kind of a consistent playing field here for determining what words need to be said and who can say them, and the context of which they are made.
Well, the fact is that all hell was breaking loose across the country because of Charlottesville, of course, and then her timing. You can at least grant that her timing was pretty bad.
I would say that if there was any poor time to make such a post, that was probably the time to do that. However, the comments against her, which I also found to be way out of line, was that there was some effort to be made to connect some sort of set of dots that her statements are indicative of these exact same actions of white supremacy and neo-Nazism and the KKK. And I can't see any kind of way that what she posted in response to an article to a friend on Facebook has any correlation to what transpired in that disgusting and despicable display of racism in Charlottesville. I don't believe that it is of the same level.
Well, I think I'd agree that she has never made any comments or taken any action that would indicate she is in the least bit racist. What happens on September 5th at the supervisor meeting?
Well, this was kind of clouded over in the in a couple of articles by some local print media. At one point during the last meeting, Chair Bronson wanted to get a determination from the county attorney as to what if anything the board could do action-wise to react to Supervisor Miller's statements. And there was bandied talk of censure or some kind of a punishment. I don't know exactly what is out there, but Chair Bronson wanted to get a definitive, direct and precise action from the county attorney to determine what could be done. My position at that point, and it got clouded over that I was joining in with Supervisor Elias and the chair, which I was not, I basically said, well, I'd be glad to have that discussion as long as we include the actions and conduct of a Pima County employee and what he said directed at a sitting supervisor on company company time or county time, if you will. I'd be glad to have the discussion, but we're going to discuss both issues.
And have you received word from the county attorney on whether you can take any action?
There has been a memorandum confidentially disseminated.
And you're not going to tell us what's in it.
It's confidential. Yeah. I'm not going to repeat it.
So the vote was 3-0. Supervisor Miller was out of town.
Wait, I don't believe there was a vote taken.
Was there a vote?
No, it was just a direction by the chair to ask for staff. I never voted, and neither did Supervisor Elias or Supervisor
As you say, it kind of was sort of cloudy that
it was
unanimous.
It was a request for direction by the county attorney staff to bring back a determination.
Would you agree with the Arizona Daily Star's editorial that ultimately it's up to the voters to decide about Allie Miller?
Most definitely.
And yourself and any other elected official.
Exactly. They're the ones that we're held finally and ultimately responsible to. I don't think I can remember too many times where I was in a position in any manner, particularly on a radio show, where I actually publicly stated that I tend to agree with an editorial from the Arizona Daily Star. But in this instance, on at several levels, particularly when the editorial board suggested that it was time to forget, or not to forget, but to move on and deal with other issues and get this behind us on both levels, the county employees' actions and Supervisor Miller's postings. I would be in favor of that.
So you felt concerning the employee that was doing the posting, and he did apologize, right?
He went through a county policy that Mr. Huckleberry referred back to me that as mm-hmm. what transpired with this employee, that he received disciplinary counseling and mm-hmm. that he was given a stern warning that this type of behavior would not be tolerated and it could result into further sanctions against him, including termination, and that he should apologize to Supervisor Miller, which I understand he did. Mm-hmm. So, bearing all that in mind, as long as we move on from what Supervisor Miller's statement said, I think the rest of us are willing to move on to what the county employee said in his postings as well.
Ray, do we have a call? We do not. Okay, we'll take a break right here, 790-2040. We will be right back with Supervisor Steve Christie and Dan Scheer.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster, the Buckmaster Show, featuring Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. Always on BuckmasterShow.com for all of our podcasts. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with us, and Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News and Zahrita Sun. Dan will be sitting in for me on Monday, hosting the Monday Political Face-Off. Who are you? Do you have your guests then lined up for the second half of the show?
Yes. On Monday, we're going to be talking to Patty O'Berry. She runs a domestic violence shelter and several other services down in our area, and they're undergoing an expansion and have a lot of terrific new things, exciting things happening down there.
So, and then next Friday, you're going to talk about your business.
Yeah, we're actually going to have our new publisher on the radio. She is Drew Sanchez. She came to us from the Arizona Daily Star, hit the ground running on August 1st, and learning all the people and the ins and outs of our community, and done a great job. And we're just going to talk to her about the business in general
and the future of your business.
Absolutely, I mean, and for, it's all on the shoulders of the publisher to bring the money in. I'm glad I'm not a money guy, because we'd have sunk a long time ago.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that there's a new publisher with your paper. There's a new publisher at the Star.
Yep. So, Dan, if you're so interested in conserving money, then perhaps a salary decrease, and you'd be willing to accept that.
That might 20%. Be next on the agenda.
Right. Yeah. All right. Where are we, Supervisor Christie, with the citizen input into improving roads in Pima County?
Well, as you may remember, back in May, the Board of Supervisors passed a 25-cent property tax for road repair. And part of that package included the formation of what is known as the Transportation Advisory Committee, which is set up that each supervisor has two appointees from his or her districts, they don't have to be from the districts, but from they each have two appointees, and the county administrator, Mr. Huckleberry, has three. Mm-hmm. This committee, we'll call it TAC, Transportation Advisory Committee. The TAC committee is designed to gather public input and make some determinations regarding road classifications, road repair, what type of applications to repair those roads, a prioritization of what roads should come first and be moved down, and basically to educate the community about our individual road situations, their conditions, and what can be done about it. And each district, as I say, has two appointees, and the district itself is encouraged to have, for lack of a better word, town halls in their own districts to get input and feedback from the district residents about their own feelings and to give their own input and to listen to their concerns about road problems, issues, and their repair. And I know in District 1, they've had a couple of town halls of their own already. We've had, I think, two TAC meetings. And our district, District 4, we are scheduling our first one on September 25th down in Green Valley to gather input from the community down there. So I was against the tax for the sake that it was a tax, another tax, and I did not feel that the tax was going to generate adequate money to have any effect on road repair. It's $20 million divided up among the entire county, five supervisorial districts. I don't know if you remember when I ran for office, one of my slogans was, I know roads, and I do know that...
Yeah, about your background with roads.
And ADOT and RTA, and I do know that $20 million really doesn't go that far. You might get a bridge.
Well, that was my next comment, that, you know, you're going to spend a lot of, I think it's wonderful, the public's being involved, and people are going to have a lot of input, but in the end, It's a lot of talk for not a lot of money.
And I, as a supervisor in my district at least, I'd try to keep people's expectations low. And if the thought is that
this is like not a new freeway or anything.
Yeah, if this is going to be a big cure to our problems, it's hardly scratching the surface. However, it is a educational opportunity for our constituents to ask questions to the Pima County Department of Transportation and to express their feelings about the road situations. I know for a fact, as to both of you gentlemen, that realistically it may not seem so at times, particularly in light of what's been going on at the Board of Supervisors in the last week or so. But road issues and road repairs are the number one issue of concern among county residents.
Okay. And I regularly get visitors in the newsroom talking about that very thing. Just had one the other day who had photos also. So first of all, shout out to Lucretia Free, who I know was one of your appointees. She's chairing the Transportation Advisory Committee.
She's doing a terrific job.
She really is. I've heard some great things about her and how she's just kind of cutting to the chase here and trying to get it done. My real question, though, is you said that they – part of the job is to, by October 17th, they're supposed to bring you, the board, recommendations or a list of what needs to be repaired. How easily do you think it's going to be for the TAC to get that list by the supervisors? Do you anticipate scrutinizing this thing quite a bit or not?
I anticipate that deadline will not be met. And matter of fact, County Administrator Huckleberry sent out a recent memo suggesting that there would not be a problem as far as any improvements. There are weather concerns when road repair starts, and there's a certain window, and he was trying to massage the final determination so it would meet that window, but upon further analysis, we just received a memorandum that it would be safe to proceed and continue for the decision up even into December. So, but to your second point, yes, we're going to be scrutinizing this. I'm going to ride with the roads committee down in Green Valley over the roads they're suggesting and firsthand experience them. I'm sure I already have, but I'll do it again. And folks have to realize that District 4 is a big district, and we're going to be getting whatever our share of $20 million is that goes all the way from Mount Lemmon all the way down to Green Valley, all the way to the Cochise County border, and into Eastside Tucson and Vail. So folks should keep this in mind, that we're going to try to do the best we can with what we have, but it's not going to be the end-all panacea that folks are hoping to be.
And I like the way that Saurita is handling this. They're going to get 2.75% of roughly $20 million a year. It's not very much money, but it's just basically going to go into the pot because they already have a maintenance schedule, and this is just going to kind of help them be able to do a little bit more. They're not really relying on it for any huge fixes, and it's just kind of a little icing on the cake. And I think that's the way this should be looked at, but they've had the opportunity as a young community to kind of stay on top of this and make sure that the roads aren't going to be crumbling.
Yeah, true. And Saurita's, it's such a difficult situation for them regarding this whole process because, as you know, Sharon Bronson, Ramon Valadez, and myself all have chunks of it. And,
right.
You know, who's going to have a town hall and how is it going to be presented and who's going to present the findings and who are going to make the findings to the TAC. But nonetheless, I'm sure we'll get all the input we can from the Saurita folks to make sure they're represented.
And we also have 2 minutes to go, Dan.
Okay, we also have quite a few gated communities down there, and they handle their own roads. They are responsible
Correct.
For their own roads, which is a good thing. Quail Creek is an example.
Yes.
I know you wanted to get into a little bit about economic development.
Yeah, and it almost seems like we're getting some mixed signals on how we as a county are doing drawing large employers. We've seen some real good announcements here in the last few months. Overall, the strategy, are you comfortable with where we are? What does Pima County need to change to get the attention of large employers and get them to actually come here?
I am not comfortable with a lot of the direction that Pima County is going on, because my belief has always been, I ran my campaign on it and I stand on it today, that the best pathway to economic development is making sure that we have a viable, strong, and modern infrastructure and road system. And until we reach that, point, and until we address that adequately, I think we're going to have a difficult time attracting new businesses to come here. Certainly, we've had a number of great successes, but they've been on the Rio Nuevo level for the most part. But until we are able to bring our roads and our thoroughfares and our infrastructure up to modern day acceptable conditions, we're going in with the decks dealt against us whenever we're trying to recruit. And that needs to be addressed first.
All right, we're going to wrap it up right there. Steve Christie, thank you very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure. Great seeing you both.
Thank you very much. Steve Christie, our guest today on The Buckmaster Show. And a reminder that the program does re-air tomorrow at 7 a.m. here on KVOI. So if you get a chance, you'll hear the program tomorrow. Take our break right here. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial page editor of the Arizona Daily Star, will join Dan Scheer and myself as we continue with our Friday roundtable. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC-CR-6030-5859, enhancedopenings.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition, the second half of the program. We do our Friday roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor of the Arizona Daily Star and columnist at the Star, joins us on the live line. Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun, sticks with us after our first portion of the show with Steve Christie. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, Steve Christie actually had some nice things to say about your editorial.
Well, that is fantastic.
He basically was saying, Sarah, it's time. He agrees that it's time to, concerning Supervisor Miller, to refocus. And ultimately, you wrote that the voters will have their say on her political future.
Absolutely, I think it is time to not ignore what she said or brush it aside or forget, but to take the energy that is stirred up and turn it toward action, to take it from criticizing words to actually doing some good in the community.
Sarah, do you feel like we've had an adequate explanation from her as to why she posted that?
You can't know what's in another person's heart or mind. She's explained the way what she thinks was adequate, and I think it falls short. I think if you don't understand, I think the biggest failure is to not understand how it was received, why it was received that way, and the self-absorbed, it's all about me, not and what I meant, and not understanding the context. I think that was the biggest problem. I think if she had said, I'm proud of my heritage, I understand it was bad timing, I shouldn't have said it that way, that would make a difference. But she said what she said, she said what she meant, and she hasn't given us any other explanation.
Would you say that your editorial was an indicator that you think the three Democrats on the board were going after her almost, not unfairly, but maybe a little too hard, maybe for political reasons, not because they were upset about her comments?
That's a good question. I think it's probably in response to public requests. People, there's been a lot of criticism of her and what she said. And I don't want to say that it was for political reasons. I have no reason to doubt that the other three, the Democratic supervisors, were not offended by what she said or did not find what she said objectionable and didn't want it representing them as a board. But I don't think it was political theater, if that's what you're thinking.
I think one thing that would help here, and I think all three of us will agree with what I'm going to say, is we need more transparency from Supervisor Miller. Being silent and not appearing at the board meeting on Tuesday and not giving an explanation, and she was out of town, I understand, and had these plans for a long time, but that has not come out necessarily. I heard actually about that for the first time today. I mean, why not just tell your constituents, tell the media, the reason I'm not at the meeting is because I had these plans, I'm out of town, basically on vacation, and it's not because I'm necessarily ducking this meeting. I mean, perception is 90% of reality, Dan.
But I think the answer to that is very easy. She doesn't trust us. She doesn't trust the media. She trusts her getting her own message out, or there's one outlet in town that swallows her up in big warm hugs and lets her say whatever she wants to without holding her accountable, which is unfortunate, because when people hold you accountable, then we're going to get to the truth of really who you are and why you did what you did, and it's freeing. It's liberating. She should she should have sought out the evil mainstream media. Mm-hmm. I think those are her words, and just answered the questions. But she thinks we're all after her. And I suppose, I guess I would act like she is if I truly believed that we were all after her. We're not. We're not after her. We're just after some answers. And I think that that's a noble thing on our part, and I think it would be noble for her to actually come clean and just talk about it. She probably has, she can explain herself very, very well. I just wish she would.
Sarah.
Well, I have to say that I know that the media is a really convenient scapegoat, especially now with the president trying to discredit media, the journalists, the people just as an aside, we talk a lot about, you know, the big sacrifices that correspondents make in war, bringing the news and in very dangerous situations. And that is, I think, a really good thing to remember when we're talking about why we need the media. But we also need the media because we are at that sometimes really tremendously boring Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting. We're at the Tucson City Council. We're at the various school district. We're reporting the nuts and bolts kind of stuff in the communities. And I think it's fine if Supervisor Miller wants to believe that people are really out to get her. It is not true. It is not the case. But it's politically a good way to drum up support and have an us against them sort of mentality. But when it comes down to it, she was avoiding her constituents. She was avoiding the people who elected her to office, the people who did not vote for her, but who she's still supposed to be representing. And yes, maybe she was out of town, maybe it was already planned, but there are these things called telephones, which I am using right now, to talk to you fine folks.
Yeah.
So it's not like, so the total silence, only talking in that insular bubble to people she knows already agrees with her, is really, I think, the biggest failing of any public official.
I really wish the president would stop this thing about they are really bad people saying that about those of us who have really spent a lot of years, myself 50 years in this business. Mr. President, I am not a bad person. Dan Scheer, you're not a bad person. Sarah, you're not a bad person. We are not the evil people. I mean, it's ridiculous. So
I do have to say that Nicholas Kristof at the not-so-failing New York Times wrote a really excellent piece that I posted on my Facebook page, and saying that, I'm just going to read, if only President Trump denounced neo-Nazis as passionately and sincerely as he castigates journalists. I think that is just... kudos to Nicholas Kristof, the columnist, for pointing that out in such an eloquent and stark way.
Dan, I know it plays with his base, but doesn't that kind of get you?
It does get me, but I have...
Or do you just forget it, blow it off?
You know what? If you're talking about the fringe on the left and on the right, the ones who are the loudest are the ones who probably, and I really hesitate to say this, should be ignored, be honest with you, because most of us are right in the middle trying to figure things out and trying to do it with a true heart. And so I like those people, and I like to give those people answers, and I like to have access to the decision makers to get those answers. And so that's kind of where we are. But we are way too often distracted by that fringe. And I think that that's what we kind of need to move forward from. Mm-hmm. And I think in a sense, and I don't want to speak for her, but I think that editorial in The Star was kind of saying that too. It's like, look, this is really distracting. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's important, and we need to know how she thinks, but it's not the most important thing right now.
Right. Susie has called us and would like to join our conversation, and we encourage that. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Bill. In defense of Allie, she used someone's private Facebook page, and maybe she is a supervisor, but I'm sure you talk about your cat on your own private one.
Yes, I do.
I talk about my grandchildren. So why can't Allie say what she wants on Saturday, which the August 12th was Saturday, okay?
Right.
So she's Allie Miller. She's not Allie Miller, Pima County Supervisor, District 1. And I don't understand why people can't separate that.
Okay. Stay with us, Susie. Let's hear what Sarah says.
I think when you're an elected official, you don't have that sort of luxury of a 9-to-5 job. You're elected not only to go to the meetings and public hearings and that sort of stuff. You are that person fulfilling that role with those responsibilities 24 hours a day, even if you don't think of it that way, even if you don't want to think about it that way. So I think just as Dan and Bill and I have public profiles that we don't have necessarily the luxury of just spouting off whatever we want, because it does have ramifications of our organizations, I think politicians, elected officials, have that same responsibility, okay, even if they don't see it that way.
Susie, I think you bring up a really good point, but the bottom line is that she is a public figure. We give her control of spending millions of dollars and making very important decisions, and she has to be very careful about how she comes off to people. And I like what Sarah said about us, and I would consider myself a semi-public figure, and my job is 99% of the reason I do not do Facebook.
Okay. And thank you, Susie, for pointing out that I do have a picture of Prissy the Glam Cat up on the Bill Buckmaster website. Well, it's not my website. It's my Facebook page, which I use for some personal stuff, but mainly to promote the show and tell people who is going to be on the show. And that leads me to an animal question for you, Dan Scheer. How is that going with the changeover down in Sahorita?
Well, we have our own animal control department
right,
now.
Right.
It's one person, and he is going to have a spay and neuter clinic on Saturday at 1 o'clock in Animax Park, if you're interested. And so it's going well. He has picked up or had calls probably three times the number that we've had from the counties, because and part of it is he's there. He's on
right,
the spot. And so he's much more active than the county was down there, mostly because of geographics. And it's going well. It's a real difficult thing to start a new department. It's very costly. Mm-hmm. I think in the long run, the town expects that it's going to pay off, and I would agree.
All right. Sarah, before we go, there were a couple of big education stories that I want to, first of all, Dr. Trujillo, mm-hmm, an internal candidate. I think this is a good move myself, and I wish him well. He's going to be with us right after Labor Day. I get to know him a little bit. I'm glad that he was the choice, and I'm glad they went with an internal candidate. Sarah?
Yeah, I think he has been the interim superintendent since H.T. Sanchez left, once it was became obvious that he was going to get he didn't have board support. And Dr. Trujillo has been there. He's been getting the kind of the lay of the land, figuring. I mean, it has to be hard as an interim because you're sort of holding the seat for possibly someone else, and so you can't take all the reforms and the big decisions that you might want to otherwise. So now he has that inside knowledge of how things work, and he's probably, no doubt, had a lot of time to develop some ideas, plans, things he wants to change. I think I hope that the governing board will give him the opportunity to do his job and not interfere and not and recognize, I think, part of that, and I've written about this, that governing board members, even if you don't think you're interfering, you may be interfering. And so understand that giving the guy space to do his job and to hit the ground running is really important.
And Dan, I know this does not impact you, TUSD, but the other story was a big story, went all over the nation, was the judge's decision, a federal judge, that racism fueled the Arizona Ethnic Studies ban. So it's interesting to see how that now will play out with the legislature.
Absolutely, and it'll be interesting to see what starts popping up again at public schools. I think
yep,
this is a little bit of a surprise and very interesting reading. If you have an opportunity, read all you can on that story.
Sarah?
I am actually on page 37 of 42 reading the decision right now.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, because I'm gonna be writing about it for my column on Sunday, and we will have a piece from former Superintendent of Public Instruction, John Hoopenthal, in the paper on Sunday as well.
Mm.
It's I encourage everyone to read this court decision. It is a really detailed look, kind of a play-by-play of how this whole saga unfolded and how basically it boiled down to Tom Horn, who was superintendent of public instruction and then an attorney general, and John Hoopenthal. The two of them realizing that this is political gold and using it, trying to get rid of the or succeeding eventually, it was their mission. It was their thing, and they ignored other evidence that it was working. They didn't go into the classrooms. It's really kind of depressing.
All right.
Reading all of this. So
good. We'll let you get back to that reading.
Thank you.
Sarah, have a great weekend. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star. And then Dan, good luck with sitting in this chair. Monday you'll be with us, and then Friday as well. And I'll try to post, speaking of Facebook, a few pictures from hopefully up on cool Vancouver Island.
Have a great trip.
Thanks.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which always makes a great weekend getaway or spend a little extra time over there in the middle of the week. It's 15 degrees cooler in the Silver City area. Lots to do, including historic Silver City. Just relax in a lovely environment, kick back, some great places to eat. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Here is the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson public relations, public communications expert, and a dedicated foodie and columnist, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. You're making me blush, Bill.
All those accolades, kudos. My goodness, school is back in session at the U of A. What a great time to, how about one of these sangria challenges?
Yeah, you know, my first trip to Spain is actually coming up this fall.
No
so
kidding.
Exciting.
Wow.
And I thought the perfect way to prepare my palate would be with some sangrias, and just my luck, tomorrow is the first annual Beat the Heat Sangria Festival at the Tucson Convention Center. Yes, bartenders from all across the area are going to be submitting their finest sangrias for adjudication. Some with red wine, some with white, but lots with chopped fruit and brandy and other accompaniments. You'll also get some salsas, some empanadas, some paella to make it Spain and surround sound. It all starts at 3 o'clock tomorrow at the TCC. I can't wait.
Wow, that's going to be great training for your trip over to España.
Yes.
Now, what about a pop-up dinner for the folks who just kind of spur of the moment? Let's do it.
Absolutely. Are you ready for this? 19 of Tucson's brightest chefs are proud to announce the third collaborative pop-up dinner of the Gastronomic Union of Tucson, affectionately known as GUT, Sunday night at the Carriage House downtown. This one is called El Tour de Taste Bud, and each course in the five-course meal will be kind of a highlight of different taste sensations: salty, bitter, sour, sweet, umami. Now, the dinner is going to include beverage pairings with each course. All-inclusive is just $75 a person. Cocktails begin at 6 p.m., and then you're going to watch these 19 chefs go to work. Definitely a meal that'll last a lifetime.
I love that acronym, GUT. What's going on at a very popular restaurant? People just love Wildflower.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, sometimes, Bill, there are weekends that kind of bleed into Monday, and this weekend is one of them, thanks to the Rosé Wine Dinner at Wildflower, happening on Monday. Now, Wildflower's chef Kevin Hant is going to team up with sommelier Regan Jasper to match their favorite rosé wines with the foods that bring out their very best. For just $50, you'll dine on four kind of light and summery courses, all paired with a different rosé. And I think you'll be delighted to see how nicely these rosés actually play with such a wide range of flavors at the center of the plate. It's Monday night at 5:30 at Wildflower. And, Bill, I'm thinking, can you write me a note so I can take Tuesday off of work after this dinner?
These are heady times for folks like yourself, my friend, that write about food and beverages, because I'll tell you, Tucson is really on the map right now when it comes to dining out, isn't it?
Worldwide. We've known it for years right here in Southern Arizona, but now the world is celebrating the flavors, the fragrances, the traditions, the roots of Southern Arizona cuisine, and I get to do it every day.
There you go. Matt, have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
All right. Author Stephen Gorham returns with his third book. It's titled Outside the Green Box, The Fraud of Man-Caused Global Warming. Liberty Watch at 11 a.m.,
right here on KVOI on Sunday, right after Charles Heller brings it all home with that swap shop train a-coming down the track. All right, Friday we like to do thank yous. Christophon, please don't forget this fine German composer. His music, a link to it, is at buckmastershow.com. He composed the original music for the Buckmaster Show. The Bill Buckmaster program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. My thanks to Rosemary Brandt. Rose does a great job getting up all of our podcasts in a very timely fashion. Sure, certainly Ray Allen. Ray is my ace engineer producer who really helps me out. Good person. And actually, I like him so much that he'll be sitting in for me on Thursday here on the Buckmaster Show. So why don't I just wrap it up by saying thanks to everybody here at our home station, KVOI. Thank you very much. I'll be gone for a week, but the show goes on, all original content next week. Have a great weekend.